Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on, so we'll go right to the phone callers. First up, Karen in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Karen.
Hi, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just have two quick questions. First of all, I've been feeling very down lately. External circumstances, I'm unemployed. I've been trying to concentrate on 1 Peter, 5th chapter, and I believe it's the 6th verse. I'm not good at remembering scripture. But it says, cast your cares on the Lord.
Yes.
Place your anxiety on God because he does care. And then the verse afterwards talks about the lion, or this Satan is like a roaring lion waiting to devour and to destroy.
Yes.
The question is, though, because I've been suffering through this depression, is that more of a demonic or is this more of this external circumstances?
Well, no, I mean, the real issue here is that we live in a cursed creation, and as a result of that, we're constantly struggling against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And because of that, I don't think it's as important for us to try to determine what the source is as much as it is important for us to recognize what the antidote is. The antidote is to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against principalities and powers of darkness, but also so that you can stand against the world and the flesh. Now, it is true that sometimes depression can be a chemical imbalance, and therefore it should be medicated. So there are physiological reasons that could be the cause of the problem as well. So I think what's important is to have a proper diagnosis, but ultimately what we as Christians have to recognize is that we live in a sin cursed world. We have an adversary, the devil, and precisely as you say in 1 Peter 5, starting at verse 8, we're told to be self-controlled, we're told to be alert, because our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And recognize that while Satan is a lion and he's seeking to devour, with respect to that metaphor, he is a lion on a leash, the length of which is determined by the Lord, which is to say that God will never give you more than you can handle. And as you go through trial and tribulation, he gives you the grace you need, and oftentimes not a moment before you need it. So rest in the fact that you are never going to have a panacea in this world, but you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Now, to have that peace, you have to exercise spiritual disciplines, or life disciplines, as I like to call them. Disciplines like meditating on the Word of God, which becomes the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. Memorizing the Word of God so that when Satan roars against you, you have the internal Word of God imprinted upon the tablet of your consciousness as an antidote. You have truth to overcome his falsehood. And I think it's important as well to constantly be attentive to the indwelling Christ, or the indwelling Spirit, the still small voice that gives you peace and solace in the midst of difficult circumstances. So recognize that your circumstance being unemployed is not a unique circumstance. A lot of people go through it, but if it wasn't this circumstance, it'd be another circumstance. Life is one series of challenges after another. We never get rid of the challenges. What we need to do is learn to have the peace of God that passes all understanding amidst the circumstances of life.
Okay. All right. That makes me feel a lot better. Can I ask one more quick question?
Sure.
My dad died a couple of years ago, and my mom is still grieving over the fact that, you know, of his death. And she heard about more of these mediums or psychic mediums coming to our city. And I told her that these people here are either pretty much lying to her and telling her what she wants to hear, or they're hearing other spirits that are not necessarily godly. And I was wondering if I could convince her by using the example, the Witch of Endor, to convince her not to seek out these people, because she's becoming pretty animate about trying to speak to my dad.
Well, I mean, the Witch of Endor is a good example. What's going on here is that mediums were forbidden by God. And as a result of that, when mediums practiced, they were practicing in violation to the commandments of God. And the medium, which is the Witch of Endor, was herself judged in this circumstance by Samuel coming back from the dead, which wasn't something that she did. And she knew that what she was doing was sleight of hand. So when Samuel actually, in a non-normative event, came back and appeared, this was something that she immediately recognized was the hand of God, not through her, but in spite of her. And this, of course, was an event that was singular in history and became the judgment on Israel's first king, Saul. So, yeah, that's a good example to use. But let me say that what I would do is simply point to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and perhaps go through that passage slowly, concisely, and carefully and say, this is what the Word of God says. Do not do it. Why? Because they simply lead you astray. It's always sleight of hand or sleight of mind. Not only that, but God has in His sovereign purposes, He has hidden the future from us. If we knew what the future held, we wouldn't want to face the future. And therefore, God gives us enough light to step into a little more light. And with each new step, He gives us the grace to face whatever comes to us that day. And that's why we can pray, give us this day our daily bread. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about the past. We know that the Lord has the future under control and we can trust Him, and that should be enough for us. Now, if someone says, well, I don't believe that the Bible is in fact the Word of God, you have to be able to demonstrate that the Bible is a reliable authority, and therefore what's said by God in Deuteronomy chapter 18 is what we should live by. And of course, I've written a book to demonstrate that. That book is called Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Bible's Divine Inspiration.
Okay, but thank you so much, and your words were very encouraging. I really appreciate it. Take care, and God bless.
Thank you so much, Karen. God bless you as well. Back to the phone lines. Chad, Linden, Arkansas. Hi, Chad.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question. What is your interpretation of the difference between the soul and the spirit? And what is the functions, and where does the mind and the heart fit into these?
Yeah. Well, you know, when your mother gave birth to you, she gave birth to a body-soul unity, which is to say she gave birth to both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of your humanity. In fact, to be human, you have to have both a body and a soul. However, there is a distinction between soul and spirit in that the distinction relates to that which relates to creation, the soul, and that which relates to the creator or the spirit. And therefore, soul and spirit, from my perspective, are two functions of the immaterial aspect of humanity as opposed to two separate components of man's being. As far as mind is concerned, mind is metaphysical. It doesn't have extension in space. Brains are physical. They do have extension in space. the mind causes the physical synapses of the brain to fire, though itself is not physical.
Okay, and I'm still kind of confused. What would be the jobs, I guess, of the soul and the spirit?
Well, again, the soul and the spirit are two ways of speaking about the immaterial aspect of your humanity, the one that relates to God, the other that relates to that which God has created in terms of function. But again, that's how it is used from a biblical standpoint. But again, two aspects of the immaterial aspect of your humanity. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
You thought only religions have dogmas? Think again. Because wokeism has its dogmas, and these dogmas demand obedience, not merely consent. Obey or be canceled. No dissent allowed. The problem is that woke dogmas are a path straight to civilization hell. Because the dogmas of this social disease are so deadly, we've tackled them head-on in an upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. The fact that even historically sane institutions are daily falling victim to this pandementia demonstrates how deceptively dangerous this mental cancer actually is. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Hey, from Randy, and we'll go right back to our callers. Next up is Chad listening in Salem, Virginia. Hi, Chad.
Hey, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
A pleasure.
My question is, according to the, you know, the Holy Bible and the teaching of Jesus Christ, how much should a true Christian be patriotic? I mean, how much should we support war and, you know, waving a flag around to our respective country?
Yeah, I think it's important that if we support wars, we support just wars. A war has to be fought justly. And if a war is fought justly, I think that there is warrant for that war. So, for example, when we went to war with Nazi Germany, I think that was a just war fought for a just cause. And therefore, just as police have been set up in a society to maintain order in that society, I think we can also say that there are the agencies of armies that maintain order among civilizations, such that when a civilization like Nazi Germany seeks to create the Übermann and eliminate lower races in accordance with Darwinian evolutionary theory, because the Jews were thought to be a lower race, as were what they characterized as misfits, they should be purged as well, because misfits were retarding the process of evolution. And in the evolutionary process, it is as significant that the unfit die as that the fittest survive, because if the unfit survive indefinitely, they infect the fit with their unfit genes, and then evolution, again, is retarded. And that was the basic thinking of German scientists and the German war machine, and thus they were creating genocide on a mass scale, not only with respect to Jews, but with respect to many other people that they considered unfit people. So they were creating the Übermann, and because of this, and because of the fact that this violates the most basic principles of humanity given to us by a God who says that humans are created in the image of God, it was just to seek to bring order back to civilization and to protect the innocent against an evil aggressor. So I would say just war is something that is permissible because we live within a cursed creation, and therefore there's evil that has to be repressed by those that God has commissioned to do that. Now, we can say that Christianity is a function of people who are gathered together to promote kingdom principles, and that in American civilization, there's a warrant to think that there was the justice and principles of the Bible brought to bear on a great and grand scale, which is to say that Western civilization was built on the basis of a biblical worldview, and this was imbibed in particular, peculiar, unique, and very strong fashion in the American experiment. And therefore, from that standpoint, I, as a Dutchman who immigrated through Canada to America, am very proud to be called an American because of the heritage that America has. Now, having said that, I'm also recognizing that today we live on the cusp of a civilization that is going in a very, very bad direction. The very evolutionism that was embraced by Hitler is being embraced on a mass scale by people here. Now, there are different permutations of it, but many people in America take the racist ideology of Darwinism to an extreme, very much like a Richard Dawkins does. And therefore, he doesn't see a huge difference between a boy and a banana. When you start living in that kind of a worldview, you're going to ultimately end up having anarchy and chaos. So what is the antidote? Christians in America, instead of being a microcosm of the culture or cultural imitators, we have to be cultural initiators, those that change the culture by bringing to bear again a biblical worldview within the culture, because if we don't, the culture will ultimately corrode, corrupt, and crumble.
Right. Well, I mean, but just war, isn't that something that we've labeled it? I mean, what about the teaching of Christ when he said, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said to love thy neighbor and to forgive thy neighbor. I mean, what about that? And what about thou shalt not kill?
Well, you know, to save a neighbor from an evil aggressor is loving your neighbor. I mean, when my parents were involved in the Dutch underground or the Dutch resistance movement, hiding Jews from an evil aggressor, that was love. And I would say, as far as Jesus's words are concerned, Jesus condemned the aggressive use of weapons, but commended the defensive use of weapons, as we see in passages like Luke chapter 22. So love sometimes protects the innocent from an evil aggressor.
But wisdom is better than the weapons of war. And, you know, I mean, Jesus said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I mean, and you know, we're taking this in our own hands. I mean,
Are you married, Chad?
Yes, I am.
Do you have children?
Yes. I've got a stepson, yes.
Okay, so now let's imagine that a murderer comes to your door, and he is going to murder your stepson and your wife in cold blood, and you have the ability to use aggressive force to stop him. Would you consider doing that?
No, I wouldn't. No, because God will protect me. God will provide a way out for me.
But God uses human agency. God ordains the ends as well as the means. And I would say that make love not war is a false dichotomy, because true love protects the innocent against the evil of an aggressor. And that kind of love sometimes leads to war.
Yeah, but Jesus says do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. So if someone does something evil to me, I'm going to do something good, right? Isn't that what he taught us?
Well, first of all,
you don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with good.
But I'm not suggesting overcoming evil with evil. I'm suggesting overcoming evil with genuine love that sometimes protects the innocent, in some cases needs to protect the innocent against an evil aggressor. Now, it is true that the Bible throughout, to your credit, you are testing all things in light of Scripture. It is true that it says, do not repay evil for evil, and be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And then later on, we're told that if your enemy attacks you, well, what you ought to do is leave room for God to act. But God acts through agency, and that's the point. So he does say, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so to your credit, you are bringing out a principle from the Scripture. But let me say that I'm not violating that principle in saying that true love protects the innocent from an evil aggressor. This is not overcoming evil with evil, but it's overcoming evil with good.
Yeah, but my sins are just as red as anybody else's sins. I mean, because, you know, Romans says, you know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner, and the terrorist, you know, or whoever in this world, you know, Hitler, you mentioned him, my sins are just as bloody as his sins.
Well, I don't think that's true.
All have sinned and fall short.
Well, that's true. That is true. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But to equate all evil as being exactly the same is certainly untrue. Jesus made that clear in the Sermon on the Mount. So if you think an adulterous thought, you've already committed adultery in your heart. But that is not equivalent to actually committing adultery. So you can't say, well,
But transgression of the law, I mean, if I just break one of God's commandments, I'm guilty of sin. That deserves the death penalty. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, so anybody, it doesn't matter how heinous our crime is or our sin is. Christ died for the whole world. He died for me, and he died for you, and he died for Hitler, he died for the whole world. I mean, we cannot justify sin.
Well, we can't justify sin, but what I was simply trying to do was make a qualification. Not all sin is equal, and it sounded to me as though you're making all sin equal, and that's simply not true. The consequences for thinking a murderous thought and actually carrying out that in terms of murdering someone are entirely different. But certainly both are sins, but they're not equivalent sins. And therefore, as Jesus points out, the sins of those who saw Messiah in their midst and yet rejected him would be judged more harshly in eternity than the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, even. Because in the words of Jesus, they would have repented had they seen Messiah in their midst, or that's the basic point that's being made by Christ. So I'm simply saying that sins have different consequences. Not all sin is equivalent to another sin. Running a traffic light and murdering someone are two entirely different things. I'd like to continue, but I am out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We have articles in the Christian Research Journal on war and just war theory. For example, Justice and Asymmetric Warfare. This is an ethical discernment article. Might sound complicated, but it is incredibly illuminating. Thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.